Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the New Adjuster Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. My name is Murphy. I'm in the property training department, and with me today, and as always, is
Kelsey with Property Claims.
And we are super excited to have you back. Again, this is Season 3, Episode 5. Different episode title today, Tales from the Desk. I'm actually a huge fan of the Ryan Russillo podcast. Shout out to him. He does Tales from the Couch as he watches sporting events. So we're doing Tales from the Desk today as we talk to desk adjusters around the office. We're going to bring you four very special ones today, and we can't wait to get into that. If you missed our last episode, go back and give it a watch or a listen, or any of our previous episodes and or seasons. Last episode, we actually had Kelsey on. She was a fantastic guest. Before we get started, make sure you subscribe to our channel, CNC Catastrophe and National Claims. Hit the bell icon to get notified of all future content and leave a comment below. You might get featured on a future episode. Without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into it.
All right, guys, let's meet our desk adjusters. With us today is
Cassandra Daniels. I'm in the flood department.
And awesome.
And Kelly Hensley in the property department.
Yes. Awesome. So both sides of the aisle here as we get you both together for this podcast. So first question, just kind of an introduction. We're going to ask everybody these same series of questions. Cassandra, we'll start with you. How did you get into adjusting, and how many years have you been doing it?
I got into it based off of one of my best friends. She was doing it. We worked at a cable company. I was there for like 23 years, so that's my background. And when I was laid off in 22, just tried to get into something else that was stable, another industry. And insurance is deep. So
it's not going anywhere.
Is not, and there's so many levels to it. So I became an adjuster in 22.
Okay.
Started in flood.
Gotcha. And been there ever since.
Awesome. Different areas of it, but three years now.
We're ready to steal you to property whenever you're ready.
You never know. You never
That's
know.
Right.
Kelly, now you.
Same. I had some friends in the field and just sounded like a good idea. So I was like, let me try this out. I hopped on the Adjuster Pro and did all the things and started with CNC. So I've been in it about 3 years now.
About 3 years. Okay. All right. So three and three, basically. Yeah. So y'all been here about the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Good deal.
Ian, that's right. Yeah. I remember that.
That's when I started.
That's right.
Love it. So tell me, Cassandra, what does a typical day look like for you as a desk adjuster?
So when we come in the morning, well, for me, I pull up my emails, check messages, text messages, because our adjusters can text us now.
Mm-hmm.
Check voicemails to see if any insurers have left a message. We deal with public adjusters, attorneys, vendors. Everybody wants to know where the claim is. So check messages first, then get into the claims just to see if I have any notes I need to put in that are overdue. Check my compliances to make sure that nothing is just outstanding, and try to see what I can do to start getting all the claims moving forward for today.
Yeah,
I hear y'all all the time. They sit in my area of the building and hear them all the time on the phone with adjusters, insureds, everybody, and just getting down to it. What about you, Kelly? What's your day look like?
Same. I like to start out with my voicemails and emails, and then you're just jumping into reviewing the coverages. Reading some policies here and there, calling those insureds and telling them what they need to know about their policy and their damages. And
so Kelly, I know, works on the daily weather claims right now. So she's dealing a lot, not even just weather, but just anything not cat. So
Fires,
a lot of fun stuff. So I get to hear flood and everything else from these two. I love it.
So if you had to prioritize the two, Cassandra, and then Kelly, we'll go to you. You've got existing claims, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks like adjusting, you just, the first day you start, you get all brand new claims. We know that's just not case, right? Because claims are in all different stages. Some of them are at the very end, very beginning, in the sticky middle. So what do you kind of prioritize? Do you prioritize the new claims or the ongoing ones when you start your day?
I do have new claims, but they're not as frequent as
right,
the
on
older
the flood
claims.
Side, yeah. Okay.
Just depends on what's happening, you know, from state to state. But as far as my queue, I just start with what's hot.
Right, gotcha.
Like the ones
so
that
what
I've
needs
been,
your attention right
yes,
this second?
And what
doesn't
I can move
mean
on.
It's new or old.
Yeah. Gotcha. Just if it's a hot new claim, jump on it right
you gotta
then.
Have
go
that
ahead
one.
And get it assigned, call the policyholder. Sometimes they're calling us now. Through now we deal with more NFIP claims. So those are a little different that we're working now. But just what's hot. If it's a new hot claim, we jump on those. If it's an older hot claim, I try to stay with those. Gotcha. And the ones that are brewing to where
you
it's about to be hot,
yeah,
I try to keep those right there, too. Yeah.
All right, Kelly, what about you?
Yeah, I think similar. We definitely have timelines. We want to contact our newer insureds fast, right. You know. But then basically we want to get those older ones taken care of as soon as possible.
Right,
you want to get those wrapped up. Yeah. You don't want them waiting too long.
Yeah, because it's that fine line, I suppose. You want to get those older claims out, right? Because if you don't get the older claims out, they continue to stack up. And before you know it, you got more than you can handle. Mm-hmm. So you want to get the ones that are ready for closure gone and out the door.
Yeah.
And I know those flood claims, they last a good bit longer. How would you say, like, the typical life expectancy of a flood claim is, if you had to put it in a number of days?
Mm-hmm. That's a trick
average
question.
When it's just everything is kind of flowing
right,
as normal. I would say maybe 60 days.
Okay,
60, 90 days. Yeah.
Kelly, what about property?
Well, we try to keep them under 30, but we
do have a huge difference.
We do have them come up to
huge
60
difference.
Watch
stops.
It.
Those are the ones I'm emailing Kelsey about right away.
Yeah,
right.
I'm like, Kelly, these are 40 something days. Where are we at?
Yeah, exactly.
So just kind of showing both sides of the house there. You know, obviously, both departments try to handle claims as quickly as possible. Flood just has a longer tail. It always has, and I suppose it always will. So
a lot bigger estimates, a lot more going into those.
Yeah. And on flood, too, you deal with a lot more contents than, like, what property
Yes, they can separate it. Yeah. So we try to push the building side first.
Right.
And then if we can hold off on the contents, we will. But sometimes they just want one claim.
Sure.
So, but we can separate it. Contents can be pretty big because everything is floating in the house. And you got to cipher through what, you know, was covered, was not covered, and those type of things.
Yeah, because you think about it. I mean, your form of water comes from the ground up. Kelly, your form of water comes from top down.
Yeah.
You know, so you got a lot more contents on the flood side. Everything that's sitting on the ground gets touched, whereas you, it's got to be collapsed ceiling. It's got to be something serious for
and
contents to get
they
damaged.
Typically, can move some things.
That's right.
And get it
do a little mitigation.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So what are some common mistakes that you see in claim files that will slow things down or create problems?
The number one is missing documents. Documentation, the notes will be right there too.
Mm-hmm.
But number one for me is documents. You get people calling all the time saying, well, I sent the adjuster this. I sent this through your claims inbox or, you know, the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, can you just send it back to me, please? And then that's
already.
directly to me. And that's frustrating because now they have to go back and figure out what they sent here and there. So that if the documents are in order and place, then that cuts down a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
And then the notes. Missing notes. That means if I don't know where your claim is for the last 2 weeks, you have not put a note on there, I have to call you.
All right.
And now I'm having to chase down.
Let's do a little exercise. If it's not in the notes altogether, it what?
It didn't happen.
Yes. If we leave you with anything.
I feel like we say that every time.
That's right.
Things that you see, Kelly.
And that's the biggest things that I see as well is that we just have to keep those notes up. I mean, I'll talk to people that are like, oh, I just talked to that insured. I'm like, well, the note's not in the file.
Right, it's not. Yeah, you don't know.
So, we have to know what you talked about and a lot of details. And for the field adjuster side, a lot of photos. You know, we don't want anything missing.
Yeah, we want to see what's there. We want to see what's not.
Exactly.
Both sides of it, because that can surely create a problem when their estimate has that they're replacing, you know, siding on this building, but you don't have a photo of any damaged siding. So where are we going there?
Exactly.
That's it.
What would you say, Cassandra, on the flood side separates a great field adjuster from maybe one that could use some work? Like, and I know there may be multiple answers you're thinking about, but if you had to just give us one or two.
From a great field adjuster to someone that's just starting.
Like, from your point of view as the desk examiner, right?
So, just understanding what you're adjusting.
Right.
Is it a property claim or a flood claim? Because those kind of run together. But for some field adjusters, they work property claims. So, they come to flood thinking it's the same, and it's not.
Yeah.
And I can attest to that because I have a lot of property still in here, and I have to kind of push it to the back because flood is definitely its own beast. So just explaining to them that flood claims are not like the property claim, and once they start to get more involved in the policy and see what's covered, what's excluded, then they like, oh gosh, Cassandra, you are so right. Yeah. It is totally separate. But from a good field adjuster, they know what type of claim it is. They know they can go ahead and set the reserve just based off of what they've inspected,
right,
and just set better expectations for the insured.
Gotcha. Yeah. So just really knowing what they're adjusting and really what type of claim it is, mm-hmm. being able to kind of separate in their mind that
what the flood zones are and what if there's a basement,
pre-firm, post-firm. Right.
Yeah, all that.
Not fun.
Cassandra wiped her brow when I said that.
That's right. And on our end, we need the weather report. We got to know if there was some hail, you know, corresponding to the data loss. And I think a field adjuster, a good one, will tell a story. I think that's basically all your photos with the notes and all that should tell us exactly what's happening.
Kind of make sure everything matches up, like a Venn diagram. You know,
you can,
matches in the middle.
You can see it easily from their storytelling. It's these photos, they line up directly with how this estimate is lining up. We're starting at the roof or we're starting at the exterior or whatever, and that's the same way your estimate should. So I really like that telling a story. It's really important. It should match up with your notes, your narrative, whatever. It should all line up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how important, I'm going to start with you, Cassandra, how important is communication between field and desk, and what's the best way to stay in sync with your field adjusters?
Oh, it is so important. I cannot stress it enough. It's so important. I have so many, just speaking of now with our claims that we're trying to finish with the last two storms, it's so important because they're tired. Mm-hmm. And I know you're tired. And we just try to keep them encouraged every day. I check on them, making sure their mental is good because I need you focused so I can talk to you the other half of the day.
Right.
But just keeping them encouraged and letting them know that we're here for them and just supporting them throughout their day. Notes are important. I can't stress that enough. If they don't have a note, then I do have to call them. But some of them are, like I said, they are responsive, but we have some that, you know, just veer off and do other things, and we got to keep them
focused.
Keep them focused.
That's right. I'm in line. And I hear you doing that all the time. You're like, hey, I'm just checking in with you.
I'm just not calling you. I don't want to know nothing about your claim. I just want
nothing about a claim. Just checking on you. And I feel like that is huge as a desk and field relationship, because you have that one-on-one with them. You can call them. And I feel like that's something huge that all, you know, inside adjusters struggle with, is having that relationship with the outside field adjusters. Yeah. Man, that's one of the first things that I learned was calling that field adjuster and not even necessarily having a relationship or knowing them that well, but having some kind of communication with them. So it's huge. Just a text or a phone call. Hey, checking in. You good?
Right.
What you need? What can I help you with? Kelly, what do you think?
I think I like to build that rapport. I like to call them first and just kind of get a little conversation going so that you have a little bit of knowledge of, you know, what's going on and who I am and that kind of thing. So then later, if I have just like a quick thing, I need to just shoot you a text and I can just be like, hey, where's this at? Hey, we need this reviewed or, you know, revised or something like that, an estimate. So yeah, just building that rapport and getting that communication going.
You doing that with them also helps them, because they'll say, oh, I know who I can call. I can call Kelly if I don't know this, or I can call Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's big, big, important communication.
Yeah, and sometimes they feel that we're just sitting at our desk and just watching the phone ring, because I hear them. They tell me that all the time. So you have to build trust. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you are here to support them.
Because you're all on the same team.
Right,
look, well, we all work for CNC.
Right,
we're all working on this claim, trying to get it to the finish line.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't do your job without them doing theirs. So you're stuck until then.
Mm-hmm. All right, so before we let both of you go, let's go into each of you one by one. Cassandra first. What would you say is the most challenging part of your job, and what would you say is probably the most enjoyable part of your job?
I think this is the most important question we're going to ask.
Right. And this is why we want to leave it for last, that lasting image. So.
Okay, so I'll start with the challenge first.
Yep.
The most challenging thing for me is just, let me see.
She's like, I love everything about it. It's so easy.
It could be overwhelming at times because you're looking at the number of claims you have.
Right.
Right now I have about 160, but I've had 200. But the number is, I had to tell myself. It's not the number of claims. You just work one claim at a time.
That's right.
I set a number for myself daily. So if I can touch 20 to 30 a day, then I feel like I've done my part.
Yeah, you've accomplished
something. If I've done less than that, then I'm like, what did I do today? Right. But, yeah, it's just, it could get overwhelming just looking at the number of claims, especially when you're in cat season, because you want to help everybody. You know it's a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. Don't want to tell a policyholder, wait, let me call you back. Let me find out this and that. So that's challenging for me because I always feel them over the phone.
Yeah.
I'm just an energy person. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So I can take in all of them like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry. And hold on, let me see what I can do. Right. If I can get there and I can bring you to my house, I would. But, you know, just that part, just the number of claims. So you can't allow yourself to get too wrapped up in it, but it does happen. Yeah. And I know it happens for me.
What would you say the most enjoyable part?
The enjoyable part is knowing that I helped someone. Yeah. Just, you know, it just even sitting on the phone listening, you know, I had an adjuster last week and I probably should say, but he cried because and I've never heard one of my adjusters cry. And just to hear, he's frustrated, you know, and I was able to talk him what I call off the ledge because I've dealt with salespeople and I have to talk myself seam down. Like, you could do this. I promise you can. Let's just let's sit down and let's just go through it. And what are your challenges? What can I help you with? Yeah. I know I don't write the claim, but anything I can do outside of that, let me know. So I get a sense of enjoyment, just helping them out, and from the field to my insured.
Two great answers.
Great answers.
Your turn, Kelly.
For sure.
Can you beat that?
Most challenging part.
So the most challenging, I think, you have to be organized. I think that's a very important thing. And let's see, I guess by far having to talk to a mad insured would be the most challenging part. So, yeah, just staying organized and getting through those conversations.
Sure, those escalated calls,
And just trying to connect on that human level and you know, getting through that.
It's a big thing because Kelly's been a desk adjuster at CNC for, like she said, a couple years now, but she's also in leadership at this point in time as well. So she gets those escalated calls and deals with these hot people, and she just does it so well because look at the smile on her face.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear that through the phone.
Yeah. You just got to have a little, like you're saying, like you want to help the people. I'm human. You're human. Yeah. Let's just get through this and see where we can meet.
Yeah. We're in the people business. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So what's the most enjoyable part for you?
I think it's been, I love learning new things, and it's always something new in the adjusting world. It stays interesting, and obviously I also love helping people too. So,
we love throwing new things at you.
Yes, definitely.
You take them so well and in stride, both of y'all. I mean, sitting in the same room with the both of you is an enjoyment for me, I will say that. Hearing y'all talk to people, it's just so positive between both of you. Very positive people in this building.
Good stuff. Well, we appreciate you, Cassandra and Kelly, both y'all for being here and helping us with this episode today. We will take a quick break before we bring our next two folks in. We just want to thank you again, how much we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Love having y'all. Yeah. Thank
you.
That's
awesome.
Appreciate it. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break here and bring you our sponsor of the week, Blue Leopard Agency. Marketing shouldn't feel like a guessing game. If you're overwhelmed and looking for a way out of the chaos, Blue Leopard Agency has your back. Escape the marketing jungle, reach your ideal customers, and fuel your business growth with a custom strategy. Get started today at blueleopardagency.com.
All right, we're back with our second set of guests. We've got some of my own in here. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Tammy Reed.
Okay. And I'm Mary Berry.
So glad to have y'all in. We got
both in the property department.
Yeah.
Last segment we had flood and property, but both of you are in property, so good deal. Now, let's go ahead and Tammy, we'll start with you. Mary, we'll go to you next.
Okay.
Good thing is y'all give different answers on this one. Maybe the only one you give different answers on, but this will be different. So, Tammy, how'd you get into adjusting, number one? And then number two, how long have you been doing it?
A family friend sent out a Facebook post, said, hey, who wants to be an adjuster?
There you go.
Said, I do.
Yeah, okay, awesome. And how long have you been doing it?
8 years.
8 years. Okay, so you've been doing it a minute. Okay.
Yes.
Have there been other people you think come from Facebook like that?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. There are a lot of traction on that post that your family friend was there?
There was. I'm not sure how many went through with it. Yeah,
so but, you weren't the only sucker. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I text her and she said, call this person. And they were like, be here tomorrow morning. So
that's go. How it works, though. Like, hey. You get in it and it's like instant.
Look, I learned about it in the grocery store. I can't say anything. All right, Mary, you go ahead.
Well, I started out because I had a family member that has been in the business for a good while. Mm-hmm. And she introduced it to me and I was like, no, y'all work too much. I can't do it. But then she told me how much money she made. And I was like, you know what?
On second thought.
I might be interested in
that. I don't have anything planned.
Yeah. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. So ever since then, ever since 10 years ago, I have been adjusting.
Okay, so both you've been in a minute. Because in our first segment, Cassandra and Kelly both been in it about 3 years. Mm-hmm. So y'all are over double that.
Yeah. Okay.
So you've been in it a minute. Okay, good deal.
So what's a typical day look like for you as an adjuster?
Answering emails, messages, that's the beginning of it.
The very beginning.
Staying on top of your communications.
Right.
Yeah.
Writing letters, all that fun stuff.
All that fun stuff.
Dealing with me.
That's the hardest part.
Hey, look, we're going to get to that at the end. We're going to get to what's the most challenging part. Don't spoil it. Don't jump ahead.
What about you, Mary? What's a typical day look like when you were an adjuster? Mary's now in our training department, but when prior you adjusted to, claims. Yeah,
and you know to, about adjusters now when they come
train
in.
What's them their every day?
I work with adjusters all day, every day. And I would say typical day should start with prioritizing your day, seeing what's most important. Are there any emails from your manager, settlement or approvals or things like that you need to get out, contacting the insurance back, going over the coverage determination.
Yeah.
So things like that, that's going to be the most important to get the day started. And throughout the day, you know, just returning phone calls like Tammy said, making sure you reach back out, answering your phone, texting people back if you receive text messages and things, and just being having an open line of communication.
Yeah. So I asked our first group this too, and Tammy, I'll ask you and then Mary you afterwards. Do you find yourself putting new claims first on the list or like the claims that are getting ready to close? Like what do you prioritize or does it just really depend?
It just depends. So if I made initial contact with a new claim, so I always keep a running list of everything that I need to do for each claim.
Like a to-do list, yeah.
So whenever I leave here tonight, I'm going to know what I need to start off with tomorrow.
Perfect.
So
okay.
I can't really say how I prioritize that, but I know what I need to do.
Gotcha.
I think it's based off of the adjuster.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own different way of working their claims.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Tammy said, she could know if she needs to call someone back first or if she needs to work her new claims first. If you are keeping up with your claims like you're supposed to, you know, tracking the involvement that you have on them, it should be an easier process to know, you know, what comes first.
Yeah, because Cassandra even said, too, she was like, if I've got a hot claim, that skips everything.
Yes.
You know,
right.
If I got a hot claim, it goes to the front of the line. I really don't care what else is on the docket. So.
Yeah, but you think about that, and you're like, yeah, this is a hot claim, but they're an attorney, and they're not going to be in the office for 3 more hours by the time I get here. So
that's
I have
true.
To know to plan my day accordingly.
Right.
That's true.
So what are some common mistakes you see in claim files that slow things down or create problems?
If not all the file notes are in there, all the emails.
There you go, Tammy. Ding, ding, ding. That's 3 for 3. 3 for 3.
I feel like that's the same answer.
Yeah, well, that too, but also missing photos of damages that are even areas that are damaged that are unrelated to the claim. Sometimes we don't have those photos, and when the claim, you know, supplement comes back, we're like, okay, we don't see that in our documents. We don't have any photos of that. And just that just makes it a little bit harder and holds the claim up a little bit longer.
So you would say also documentation.
Yeah,
notes,
documentation.
Like that.
That's definitely.
Yeah. In sports, they call that a sweep. That's 4-game sweep.
Yeah.
That's 4 for 4.
4 for 4.
Yeah, that's really good.
They say that at Wendy's too.
Oh,
they do say that. All right, let's not get off subject. Back to it. What advice would you give to a new desk adjuster that like makes their job easier? Like if somebody's sitting with you and it's their first day and they're shadowing you, what would you tell them? Like, hey, this is going to make your job easier if you just do this.
Take notes.
Yeah.
That's so important. I take a lot of notes whenever I make an initial contact. no one else may not be able to read them, but I put them in, I put them in the claim correctly, and I keep my notes and notate everything that I do on that claim. So just take a lot of notes.
I mean, that kind of goes into what I'm going to say. It's just basically treat every claim like someone's going to review it with no context beforehand.
Yeah.
So that they don't know what's going on with the claim. They don't know what's happening. So when they pick that file up, they can literally read through it to know why you made that coverage determination. It's a build up to that. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that, you know, you have your claim easy to read is what I like to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be the advice that I would give. Yeah. Document back to documentation.
Yeah.
Because I know Murphy said that in the last group, but all together now, if it's not in the notes,
it did not happen.
So what would you say separates a great field adjuster from an average one when it comes to the quality of their file?
Oh, goodness. Well-written GLR.
There you go. Now, for, again, new adjuster podcast, what's a GLR?
General loss report.
Right. Also referred to as a?
As narrative.
Narrative. Right. Yeah.
And if that's written well, it's just awesome.
Tell the story.
You know, if they tell the whole story in there, then, and they have great pictures that actually show what they're saying in the GLR. It's just like, oh, I love you.
Yeah, because don't you love it when you're reading that narrative report and you're like, God, you're saying this, but I don't see a single thing in this photo report that points to that. This room isn't even included. Did you send the right one to me?
Yeah. And then sometimes their pictures will have damages out there, but it's not in the GLRs.
Yeah.
So then there's that, and you're just like, I don't love you anymore.
Take it back.
Well, and both of you do obviously file reviews, right? Mary as a trainer and you as a desk reviewer, right? You do file reviews. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I know when I was a desk adjuster, the first thing I did was open the narrative and read what was going on. Before I ever looked at an estimate or photos, I read it. If the narrative is a little spotty and maybe hard to read or doesn't flow right, now everything kind of comes into question. Right, you're wondering, like, what's the rest of this going to look like? But, yeah, as long as that narrative is very well thought out and is easy to read, easy to digest, then it makes your life easier as a desk.
It does.
Yeah. All right, Mary.
I mean, that's typically what I was going to say, is that the difference between a great adjuster and an adjuster that just needs improvement is, I believe a good adjuster just doesn't just gather the data. They actually, like you said, tell the story of it. Their photos and their narrative are aligned. They are together. So as you're looking at or reading that narrative, you can literally go from room to room with a photo report, and it tells the story as you're going through it.
Yep.
They're labeling the photos appropriately, where the damage is located, and all of it just makes sense.
Yep.
So they tell the story of the damages throughout the claim.
Yep.
They're damages that are there and those that are not. So.
Well, it goes back to your last point that if, you know, you're telling the story, but I don't know where I was going with that.
I know what you're saying. I typically do. All right. So how important would you say communication is between you as the desk and the field adjuster, whoever that may be? How important is that?
Oh, it's very important because whenever they're writing their estimate or like the picture's being labeled something and it's not in their GLR, you know, you need to have communication with them too, so you can ask them, hey, what were you thinking? Was this an accident? Or you know, did you not mean to do this? Is this really damage?
Right,
you know, so they won't feel like you're attacking their work.
Well,
you know,
that's a great point too, because we mentioned the first segment we do all the time. Everybody's on the same team. We all work for CNC. Mm-hmm. If a field adjuster ever feels like you as a desk adjuster are against them, we lost it.
Right.
The claim is lost. The only person that gets hurt really is the policyholder, because now their file gets delayed because these two are butting heads over here. But you're right. If you're on the same page as them and you can speak to them person to person, you know, it makes that claim go a lot more smoothly.
It does.
And it makes it go quicker too.
And that relationship just helps you, you know, you build that with a certain person or with certain people as your adjusters, your field adjusters, you know them. And so you come to know their work as well. So when you see something that's off, you can say, this isn't like them. What's going on?
Right.
So that definitely helps.
You kind of get used to reviewing that person's work too.
Yeah.
You might know, like, hey, I know what they're getting at here. Yeah.
So I just want to say it's extremely important. And I look at desk adjusting and field adjusting like it's a team, of course, but kind of like with football, no matter what, each team, the offensive part or the defensive part, they're going to go on the field. They may not go out at the same time, but they both have to be on the same page in order to play the game, depending on whoever gets the ball first. Either it's going to be the DA is going to get the phone call and talk to the insurer, or the field adjuster might even get out there if it's a cat situation before the DA. But they all have to work together in order to get to the win at the end of the coverage determination, end of the claim, end of the file. All of it has to go together in order for us to win. So we have to work together, communicate like she stated, so that we can do the best by our insurers.
That's so true.
I would agree with that.
Great analogy.
Yep. I would agree with
I'm
that.
I'm a football girly.
I almost said when you said starting off with football, whatever in my head. But no, I understood that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have one last and final and most important question for
you.
Both
already teased
of you.
It this a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, what do you enjoy?
No. What's the most challenging?
What is the question? Most challenging part? No, it's a two-parter. What do you enjoy the most about working on the desk, and what's the most challenging part?
Let's end with the positive.
Challenging first.
Challenging. You know, I've had a couple of difficult phone calls. To one of them, the insured and I, we were both crying, and I couldn't even speak because to try to calm him down, because I was so busy crying. And so, whenever things like that happen, that makes it's hard to kind of bounce back, you know, and you don't even know these people, and you're just living their nightmare with them.
Like you do by the end.
Right.
Of it.
And that's the important part.
And what was the second part? I'm sorry.
What's the most enjoyable part of your job?
Whenever you know that you've done everything that you can for somebody, and they email you and they're like, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and you know you did everything.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was a denial, but you know you tried everything you could.
I have spoken about that same thing, Tammy, and that just shows, you know, what a great team we have here, because I've gone in depth about that even when you're denying a claim and you have somebody so happy, that just there's not a better feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really isn't. And I'm glad that you didn't say I was the most challenging part.
She did
to
earlier.
You, Mary.
So,
Well, I would say the most challenging part, and I'm just going to look at this from a person that would review a file or have to maybe do a manager callback or something like that, is incomplete files. And it goes back to documentation. If you don't note it, it didn't happen. And I know, Kelsey, you can, you know, deal with this a lot, where you have to sometimes get supervisor calls and you have an insurer, an attorney, or a PA, someone's complaining about something in the file. Although if your adjuster tells you, oh, I wrote that there, but you're looking at the file and it's not there.
Yeah.
So that's very challenging from anybody's perspective that is in that claim file and trying to work it, trying to help you resolve it, and it's not documented, whether it's from the field or whether from the desk.
Yeah.
So I will say the most rewarding side of adjusting from a training perspective would you know, when I see the adjusters have that aha moment when it clicks for them, when it just really sticks and they are starting to have that momentum where they may have at one point saying, I don't think I can do this. Hard and it's not easy. But if you pay attention to the training, you use your resources and you utilize, you know, what CNC has prepared or presented for you in order to help you be successful, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
So when they have that aha moment and they give me that call and say, Mary, I got it. I think I got it. It's clicked. Now I remember what you said, or I remember where to go to find the information. For me, that is the best, coming from a teaching perspective. You always want to see the students become the teacher.
Yeah.
And I love that. I truly, truly love that. So that's the best part about adjusting for me.
Well, I liked it, the challenging part from both of y'all and our first two guests, that, you know, you said it's the emotion behind it. You said it's the being able to keep up with maybe what somebody said they did, but it's not in the file that you can't prove it.
Yep.
Cassandra said, you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that everybody gave different challenges. Yeah. So it, you know, provides that to our viewers and our listeners. But all four of you gave the same positive, that it makes you feel good to help mm-hmm. somebody and feel like you did as much as you could, and that you help people learn and you yes. see the aha moment. All of you gave roughly the same answer on what is the best part about it. And I think that's a huge positive because, yes, there are many challenges. But mm-hmm. to me, the ultimate end goal and what makes you feel the best is being that customer service advocate, helping that person get to their claim closure, hopefully a payment because mm-hmm. of it. So I think that's good that we all kind of end up at the end goal.
Yeah.
Although we all may have different challenges. So
that's true.
And well, different end goals.
That's right. That's right. Well, Tammy, Mary, cannot tell you how much we appreciate you being here. Mary is a recurring guest. She's been here before. Tammy, first timer. We'll have you back at some point. I promise you that. You were great. So, again, appreciate both of your time and hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, thank y'all. Y'all too. Enjoy it as always.
All right, everybody, we just wrapped up another fantastic episode with four very special guests today, Cassandra, Kelly, Tammy, and Mary. Super big thanks to them for joining us. Again, one of them was a multi-time guest, and the others we would obviously love to have back in the future. We're super thankful that you also joined us today. If you missed any of our previous seasons and or episodes, go back, give them a watch or a listen. Wherever you get your podcasts, again, subscribe, CNC, Catastrophe and National Claims, hit the bell icon so you get notified of all future content that we put out, and even comment below with maybe some of your tales from the desk. Looking forward to next episode. We will be doing Tales from the Field. So again, flip side, but the same type of a format that we did here today. So again, thank you everybody for joining us today. Thank you to the Ryan Rosillo podcast for the little idea of how we wanted to do this one. And we hope to see you next time.
Thanks, y'all.